fell in love with Carol Channing for her iconic roles in Gentlemen Prefer Blondes and Hello, Dolly. Now, the world is at a loss as the Broadway legend passed away last week at the age of 97.
Although many drag queens are inspired by Carol Channing, nobody is more influenced by her than drag superstar Lady Bunny.
Even though it was she-larious to see the Lady Bunny in a casket on her debut appearance on RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 4, it still gave us a moment of sadness and all the hilarity knowing that all great entertainers eventually return to their home planet.
Raspberries.
Today, Lady Bunny joins us to talk about her appearance on RuPaul's Drag Race as the first non-Ru girl drag queen to be featured on the competition series, her recent trip to Puerto Rico, and Carol Channing's amazing life.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Yeah!
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you. Unlock a delicious world of podcasting magic and listen to thousands of amazing shows at feastoffun.com/plus.
Hello.
Hello.
I can't believe my phone still rings. So crappy.
Hello, Bunny. Well, hello, Bunny.
Is that Carol?
Yeah.
I do. I'm Carol. Carol Channing?
If you thought the grave could hold me back, you'd be wrong. Dead wrong.
Yeah.
What was that?
It's Carol Channing.
Carol's back from the grave as well. Okay.
Everybody comes back. It's like a pet cemetery up in here.
How you doing?
I'm great. I just got back from a vacation in Puerto Rico.
Ah, oh. The island of enchantment.
Yes. Isla de Encanto, whatever. I loved it.
Did you find your special friend down there?
You know what? We spoke, but we didn't get together. But, honey, the first day I walked down to the beach, I met somebody else. And, you know, so I'm not really that worried about it. It was great to hear from him, you know, and give me his new number. But, you know, there that at the same time, one of the young ones, so I have my, that was my old man. Then one of the young ones wanted to hook up here in New York. And he, so I'm not hurting for it.
Well, sounds like your mouth is sore.
Well, I went to Puerto Rico because I want someone to hold me. And I wanted them to stick it in me, but I didn't mean a knife.
I think they have a murder every other day in Puerto Rico now or something like that. It's kind of crazy right now.
It's honey. It's Bunny's good looks that are killing it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I was totally upstaged by Hamilton and that dreadful Lin-Manuel.
You know, a lot of American politicians came down there to support.
Oh, I'm sure they came down there for votes, too, because they could see that shit in New York.
Puerto Ricans can't vote for U.S. president. We certainly have an ability to influence, but if you're a resident in Puerto Rico, you can't vote for your United States president. You have to live in the mainland. Mm.
There's a lot of Puerto Ricans who live in this country and vote.
That's like me.
A lot of them moved to Florida, so they're hoping Florida will turn blue because of it. We shall see.
I'd like to know what blue is nowadays, but whatever. I had a great time in Puerto Rico and met some friends of Linda Simpson who took me around. Interesting gay guy and his boyfriend, but all of his friends were like straight, you know, girls or guys or whatever. Very, very met some interesting people, you know, that burn the sage and, you know, that kind of like very attached to the land and tarot cards. And I've never met that kind of Puerto Rican before.
Oh, you had a Santeria voodoo priestess.
No, not at all. Not religious at all.
No.
I asked about that.
And what'd they say?
Well, they're not even Christian.
Well, exactly. They're pagan.
Well, Santeria is mixed in a lot with Catholic saints.
Do you know that was like my grandfather's faith? he was not a Christian. He was some like a, well, I mean, they're quasi Christian, right? They're not going to say they're not Christian, but they're mostly practicing like, you know, astrology,
animal death, animal beheading,
killing chickens, that kind of stuff.
Well, I'd give them head.
So where were you when Carol Channing died?
Fingering myself, reading the newspaper. I don't know. I don't remember. I think it was she died. Did she die Wednesday or Thursday?
I think she turned to her husband, Harry, and said, "He's I have to dead. Go back to my planet." And then she was solved.
Well, I do think Carol was one of the true eccentrics, like the Grace Jones, like the Charo, like the Ethel Merman, like the, you know, I mean, I don't know if we are smart enough or nuanced enough to understand camp even, you know?
You mean as a society or as individuals?
Well, I mean, where are today's eccentrics?
I'm talking to one right now.
I mean, I'm not exactly, I'm not exactly the trending.
Well, you know.
Oh, you're saying like in terms of like popular culture, in terms of mass audiences.
You were just on VH1.
Where are the eccentrics?
Yeah, girl, you were in a box VH1. You had the easiest job. You just had to sit there and not laugh.
And I failed.
Well, I felt bad that you died because when you told us that you were sickening, I mean, how could we ever believe that?
Well, now, what I think is funny is that several of my friends, especially black friends, and my mother.
Yeah.
Said that they in no way did they like the, I mean, there was a strong reaction against me being in a coffin, like, no, don't go there. And I thought that was fascinating.
Oh, really?
It did make me sad to see you in a coffin because I wanted the lid closed.
You prefer a closed casket. Well,
I thought it was nice to see you buried in your mother's wedding dress and your grandmother's wedding dress and your great grandmother's wedding dress. You know, they had to sew them all together to make
and
it
my
fit.
Father's chalk strip.
So really, did you talk to your mom about why the coffin made them uncomfortable?
No, I just said shut up and make some more flapjacks, you whore.
And did she?
No, I didn't, but I just think it's interesting because the show has such a wide reach of so many different age groups, including some that may not, you know, be exposed to dark or twisted humor much. But the things that you get from people, like one was saying, tweeted, I'm just sorry that Valentina said GD, goddamn, twice. So for them, that was the standout in the whole show that, that, you know, I had my big moment. They're talking about Valentina. No, that was the standout moment of the show. Is that, you know, they would, that they thought the cursing was inappropriate. So everything, Manila, Monet's, you know, performance, everything. And then someone else tweeted, and listen, you cannot get caught up in all the comments, but, or start Googling yourself more than five times a day. No, you know, you can't get wrapped up. But one guy said something so crazy. When I sunk back down into the coffin, saying, you know, Miss Bunny, Miss Bunny, Miss Bunny, he said that proves, he tweeted that this proves that Miss Vanjie is relevant on every season and therefore must be on season 11. And then the hashtag justice for Vanjie. And I'm like, so wow. So you're like young adult and you're like, you don't want justice for the climate or, you know, people of color or, you know, LGBT, right. Whatever it is today. You know, it's just like, wow. Okay. Justice for Vanjie. Okay.
The last drag queen that there was a justice for campaign, I did tell her to use that campaign to draw awareness to a cause for social good, and she went, yeah, I'll think about it.
But, you know, it is interesting you bring up a good point, though.
Hey, because, listen, yeah. If you get them thinking, that's the first step.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that thinking.
Thinking is something we don't do as much. Mm-hmm. We're told what to buy. Mm-hmm. We're told what to, I mean, you know, it's like.
But it's the nature of fandom, though. They read into it whatever it is they want to read into it. Because I'm always mystified when people, like, you know, somehow they have some kind of franchise. Let's say it's Harry Potter or Star Wars. And people pick, like, the most, like, insignificant character and make it seem like they're a super fan of it. And I'm like, what is there to be a fan of? What has this person done?
Because those individuals feel like they're on the fringes of society. So yeah. They get attracted to characters in mainstream
exactly
things that are on the fringes, right? Mm. So if you're a fan of Jar Jar Binks, you probably are a misfit.
Listen, I watched that the clip of her saying Miss Vanjie, you know early on. I mean, you know, and it was a very, very fun moment. Mm-hmm. If you're just watching it, so mm-hmm. you know, it's I mean, it was kooky and unexplained, but that kind of made it, you know, stand out as the one of the reasons you turn into reality TV, to see, you know, the script, you know, write itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is makes you technically a Rue Girl now.
Well, I guess you've always been a Rue Girl, because what she says that she put the Lady Bunny in drag for the first time.
She was your drag mother.
She loves to taunt me with my old stage name.
The Lady Bunny.
Well, listen, you know, it was fun doing it. I loved their idea to put me in a casket. It was just so nuts. So I agreed to it instantly, mm-hmm. and glad I did. It's been so fun connecting with the younger fans on Twitter or Instagram and with the other queens, whether they're on this All Stars or on, or, you know, whatever. I mean, the bottom line is that I love other queens and young, silly people. I mean, I'll be like blasting politics in one tweet and then talking about insane stuff with, you know, Bianca's fans or whatever. I mean, they really are nuts. But I absolutely love RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars whenever I am on it.
Well, this is the first time a drag queen that has not competed on Drag Race has been on either any of the shows.
Is that right?
Yeah. You're the only drag queen that has never competed on the series to actually be appearing on the show at all.
Are you saying I didn't win in my own way, girl? Don't do it, girl.
Well, I want to
know. Don't you do it.
I want to know what it was like that first time that RuPaul put you in drag. Do you remember?
Fucked me in the mouth. Fucked me in the ass. I shit. He came. Well, it wasn't the first time. I did that myself in Chattanooga when I was 10. Mm-hmm. I went in Halloween. On Halloween as a woman. My best friend, who was not gay, was my husband. And, you know, no one said a word because, honey, the day look back then was so fishy that it was like, why would you not think this thing was headed towards dressing as a woman? Mm-hmm. It's been wearing a dashiki for a couple years, which we thought was a dress because it was too big. But it didn't stay too big. Mm-hmm. The body grew.
Well, do you remember what Rue was trying to accomplish? Like, you know, in terms of putting on makeup on you? What was she saying? Like, hey, let's sit down and let me help you with your makeup, make it look a little bit better.
Or, turn some tricks, I'll make some money. And
yeah, she was pimping you out.
Yeah. I mean, look, we lived together. We hung out together. And our core was going out to shows. Go-go dancing with the Now Explosion, you know, putting our own, you know, half-assed shows on. And so, you know, I mean, obviously I didn't have as much experience with makeup as he did. And I'll tell you the truth, back then, RuPaul did not need one lick of makeup. Mm. He was so gorgeous out of drag.
Mm, it's kind of like Naomi Smalls before the lip injections.
No. Totally different nose.
Because a lot of people do compare Naomi Smalls to body to RuPaul's body.
Naomi is lovely. But,
yeah. But RuPaul was like taller? Or what was the difference?
Well, you know, Rue's got that little bitty face and, you know, the small, you know, features. I mean, his eyes were so dazzling. Let's call him him. I don't know why, but Rue's eyes were so dazzling on this one. I think they, I also love the little ting when Valentina, you know, like blinks or someone, I think Rue had it when she blinked and there's a little ding. I love that stuff.
Where is
and
that,
you know,
though?
Another thing I loved about it is that, I mean, because people like my mom and several of my friends did not, you know, like the idea of me being in a coffin, they actually pushed it in terms of what is offensive and what isn't. Like, they were not walking on tiptoes. And, you know, at one point, you know, they said that I looked out of drag like a homeless man. Well, I mean, according to people in Portland, you shouldn't make fun of the homeless. According to that one woman who objected to Valentina saying "God damn" twice, you shouldn't curse. So, I mean, to suggest that I really loved the way that they set it up, because it was all about, it was showing you that I, a nut job, have given permission mm-hmm. to say, laugh at my weight, laugh that I'm old, laugh that I'm a slut or a mess. I don't care.
I heard when they buried you in the ground, all the zombies came crawling out.
Well, those were actually tapeworms. Those were my tapeworms after I ate some very strong edibles.
Do you think this is like an interesting place that we are in a society right now where sort of drag is, you know, it's on a mainstream TV show, and yet a lot of people just aren't psychologically or emotionally equipped to deal with that? Double entendre, the humor that comes with drag, the embracing failure, the sort of the politics of the oppressed kind of thing going on.
Well, I'm going to be honest. They said we have scientists recently came out and said we had 12 more years to get the climate on track. Neither party supports meaningful action on climate. So that's going to take precedence over how I view drag through a prism of Drag Race and how long, you know, they are going to catch up to the fact that drag queens can and have been quite racy. So, I mean, you know, listen, I know they're, we're all getting, I'm more interested in, I guess I'm less interested in talking about drag than just doing it. Mm. But also, I don't always watch the show, so I can't even compare, you know, except from the few episodes, you know, that I've seen. I love that they did Aretha Franklin's Love Me, I mean, Jump to It.
It's a 10-year anniversary of Drag Race coming in February.
Well, cool.
And you know, you talk about 12 years.
I'll be on once every 10 years, and that's it.
You're talking about 12 years left for the environment. It's like we have about 12 days left for the government. Without air traffic controllers getting paid, we might not have airports or an economy.
I thought I was going to have to move to Puerto Rico because they were fake newsing up the weather, saying it was going to be a nor'easter. A little overcast. There was sun. I have the fan on my air conditioner, not the AC, but it's I thought I was going to have to Iris Chacon was performing at the San Sebastian Festival, and I could have stayed an extra day, but I was too scared about the weather.
Oh, Iris Chacon is my drag inspiration.
Yeah. But here's an interesting thing that isn't being brought up much.
Mm-hmm.
So Nate Silver, famous pollster from 538, and which is, I believe, associated with the New York Times, he tweeted, "I suggest that one way to end the shutdown is to give Trump the money for the wall." Immediately, everyone said, unfollowed, like, no, you know, this wall is racist, you know, da 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 da. And I'm like, well, actually, if you want to take away all the, I represent these people who want the wall, I'm here with these who don't want it because we're good people. If you took away that dialogue away, well, yeah, that you need to decide, Democrats, what you want to do, because you have a Trump as a president because you failed to run someone who could win. So if you are going to, you've got to get out of that mindset, because that is, you're belly aching about the long shutdown of the government. But the way to end it is by giving him the money for the wall, which you are also saying is racist. So you can't give in to a racist. How bad is the pain from the TSA? I mean, they are going to have to do something or hit him with more money, but they're turning this into a political football. They don't want to look weak to Trump and give in on the wall. If Trump gets the wall, that's a huge boon to his supporters. And, you know, I mean, listen, I tried to watch a little bit of MSNBC, and Steve Kornacki, the election expert, was in for the war propagandist Brian Williams and proven liar, who said first we're going to turn to some voter stuff. It was saying that Trump's supporters, Republican voters, are 88% up. I was like, what the hell? Four of your fucking presidential candidates are have announced their run in the last couple of weeks. Are you telling me that you're only giving us data? You're not weighing up any of your own candidates or discussing any of your own ideas? Oops, now back to Russia, where everyone in the whole country, flew to this BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
This is a BuzzFeed article that said that, this new evidence, everyone was going berserk, like, oh, this is the end. How many times have you said that? Aren't you tired of getting disappointed? Don't you know that you just paid BuzzFeed's rent for a month with that shit? It was refuted within 24 hours by Mueller, who said that the characterization of what BuzzFeed said in his investigation was inaccurate. So it's like we are letting ourselves be thrown around. Oh, it's the hamburgers.
But Giuliani just today, he just said that it isn't accurate, that it is accurate. He just put his foot in his mouth about an hour ago.
But it's not what about. We know Giuliani's position. We're not looking for him to put his foot in his mouth because he represents Trump that we don't like. So yeah.
He's saying that it happened, but it's not a big deal. But here's the concern that a lot of people have, Bunny, is that if we give in to Trump's desire for that wall, that he'll just shut down the government anytime he needs something else.
But you see, that's an important lesson, because shutting down the government is what Republicans want to do. They want smaller government. They don't want the takers, as Mitt Romney called them on that, in that Palm Beach dinner where a member of the wait staff busted him with all, I mean, it's like the people who are on Social Security, disability, Medicaid, those are all takers.
So knowing, following politics like you do, what do you think is likely to happen in the next week?
The day after the hamburgers, or 2 days, it was Trump saying prayer rugs found on the border, indicating that Muslims, as he's said before, are coming in, on the border. Now, here's the thing. That is not true. They're coming in, if I believe everyone I see, from places where you fly in, not across
sure.
the border.
Yeah.
Now, did maybe some of those were being rugs that Hispanic people were laying on at the border.
Or selling or whatever, but it doesn't indicate anything.
Yes, but here is the element of truth. If you are a fear-based voter, and you not only feel that the country has changed because of people of color, more of them, and what you consider to be illegal immigrants, you are thinking about porous borders. You voted for Trump maybe because said he was a law and order candidate, which may sound funny to us because we think of him as a liar. If he's involved with Russia, it would not surprise me. He probably has a dirty deal with every country that, has ever been. But we don't, listen, this is a fact, okay? This is not subject to interpretation. If Trump is hauled off in handcuffs tomorrow, you do not get Hillary. Okay. You get Pence. Maybe Trump does not have, maybe Pence, unlike Trump, does not have peccadillos with foreign stars. Maybe, Pence does not have dirty deals with foreign countries. This is so foolish of the Democrats to whine on about Russia, because why are you attacking the man Trump? If you are such a different party, make clear policies. Complaints and say that we're on the side of this, differentiate yourself against Trump. It's mad. What if Pence doesn't have anything you can impeach him over? What if he's actually not a wackadoodle and is a very effective, president? It seems like pursuing the Russia thing is not. Well, first of all, Bernie Sanders supporters, roll our eyes at the idea of unfair elections because our candidate was cheated and no one resisted at that time. When the Republicans had 15 candidates, we had two, and Dems cheated one, got what they wanted, and she lost.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a desire to get Trump. And I mean, people are still tweeting, or posting, I hate that orange fuck. Well, listen, the ball's in Trump's court. It's just like The news media has created Trump, as Michelle Wolf said at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. You know, they've taken their eye off of the climate, off of the bread and butter issues like health care, which should cement Democrats' following if they were ready to commit to a progressive, agenda.
Well, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is certainly on the has her eye on the ball, and she's a fan of Drag Race.
But she's also like one of just, you know, all of our Democrats should be like her, and they're not like her.
And yeah. She's a fan of Drag Race, and she's Puerto Rican, and she can dance. Come on. If you vote for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez because she's on Drag Race, you are an idiot. You're an idiot if you vote for her because she's Puerto Rican. This is the definition of identity politics. And this is what I said about her the other day that people, you know, seem to enjoy. If you love Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and don't like Bernie, they're the same thing. He's her mentor. They're both call themselves, democratic socialists. Mm. They have the same policies. So please explain how you don't like Bernie and you do like Alexandria, because you hate Bernie because you feel that he killed support for your precious Hillary, mm-hmm. who you're still trying to get back. Listen, if we weren't talking about Russia, think of how the MSNBC could contrast policies of the left, from single payer to, public option. What's the difference? What do different countries have? Have them on and explain their system. You know, talk about prisons for profit. Talk about the climate. All that has been off the burner for 2 years while Rachel Mad Dog Maddow goes on about Russia, creating such a hysteria that I retweeted someone, and someone on Twitter who isn't caught up in the tweeted it at RuPaul and saying, "Rue, Bunny just tweeted a Russian operative." Well, that operative happens to be the brilliant Glenn Greenwald, who is a Russia skeptic. Should we not be skeptic of a government that brought us the Iraq War? Give me a break.
Do you usually have these kind of intense political conversations with RuPaul?
Well, here's the thing. You know, Rue's Twitter seems to be a centrist Democrat viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, you know, now he is posting, I don't know if Rue does it himself, I don't know, is posting AOC stuff, you know, so it's like, it's you don't like her because she has 2 million Twitter followers. Be aware that she has that power. But, some USA Today or someone wrote a note about how she's going to give Democrats an article about how Alexandria was going to give Democrats a lesson in social media.
Yeah.
And it's like, did it ever occur to you that it's not how she sells her message, but it is the actual message? So no, you can't use her to seem young. No, you can't use her to seem with it, mm-hmm. unless you've got actual policies which benefit working Americans, which is most of us.
Well, it seems as though we're caught up in this cult of personality, that people are attracted to these personalities, and that's what they care about more than what the people stand for.
Well, they'll
and what
be
the
robbed.
Platform is.
Then they'll be robbed. Prepare to be robbed and ripped off.
So how do we change that? How do we get people to focus on, like, Bernie's too old or Hillary's a crook or Trump's, whatever, and focus on what kind of actual platform is?
Well, this is all wrapped up in identity politics. I mean, first of all, there is an MSNBC daytime anchor, you know, kind of said, oh, Lindsey Graham is involved in something, weird or like there must be something more, you know, because and then indicating that he's gay, and there's, you know, been some homophobic stuff. Well, I gotta tell you something. Like, if you are one of these like PC types that think, first of all, you can't say that Bernie is an old man, crusty old man, because that you're PC, so that's ageist, right? Mm. You can't laugh at Sarah Sanders because she's fat and, you know, somewhat unattractive. And, you know, I mean, I think she looks okay, but she's not hideous. But you can't mock her for her weight if you are wagging the finger at other people, you can't call her fat just because you hate her.
Sure.
If calling people fat is wrong.
Well, I think that the talking about Lindsey Graham is his hypocrisy, that he's probably in the closet as gay, or at the very least, you know, strikes people as somebody who might be in the closet.
Okay, you and I can say that. Yeah. News reporters cannot say he's probably this. Or politicians should never say it, because then they look like a fool. And they had on the Muslim female who is, I'd forget her name, but she wears a head wrap. And, you know, Democrats are crowing about diversity. Yeah, how about diversity of ideas? Stop killing her people. But the you know, and other people, Muslims are people of color too. Hello, identity politics voter. Did you ever think that way? But it's like, she said about Lindsey, well, he's had a 360 degree turn, you know, on CNN thing, you know.
Yeah, because Lindsey Graham, just like a couple months ago, was just like, he's singing a completely opposite tune right now.
Okay, but here's the thing. What Republican doesn't? He was singing the opposite tune, you know, before he realized, well, Trump still got 88% of Republicans. So even in this midterm, Republicans had to say, depending on their district, I'm with Trump, or send dog whistles, or kind of say, well, he does misspeak, but, you know, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
It's just, but anyway, so the Muslim House member said that because he did this 360, you know, turn, what he's saying is wrong. He's compromised. And you know, and then they said, what proof do you have? Well, I mean, it's just what else would he be if he made a 360 degree turn? We know he made the 360 degree turn. We do not know that he is gay, or that he's being blackmailed. An article from the Black site, the Root, said, is Lindsey Graham Putin's new buddy? Oh, there's not a P tape. Well, has there really been a P tape established? I mean, you're really going out on a limb here, and you're meant to be news. You are influencing a lot of people. So it is homophobic to make gay jokes about Lindsey Graham. Now, I do it, but I don't run around saying I'm PC, because, you know, I guess only independents and Republicans are allowed to have a sense of humor. Democrats are so wrapped up in identity politics that they are, you know, they're claiming all kinds of things that don't make sense.
Carol Channing, I guess it turns out that she had a file on her with the
Nixon, yeah.
By Nixon, put her on
because she wrote she sang a song for Lyndon Johnson. So, hello, Lyndon.
Why would that put her on anyone's shit list?
Well, that's what Nixon did.
Was jealous. He had documents on lots of celebrities, lots of people. You know, it's people trying to control the media, trying to control entertainment.
Yeah,
I don't think you're on television as much as RuPaul, but I would imagine that, you know. Maybe
you don't?
No. But like, do you know of other entertainers that may have been, like, you know, pressured by some outside force to, like, change their political message? Or is that something that's happening anymore?
It was rumored that when Alexandria won with this flurry of excitement, and, you know, she is pretty and she can dance. That's not a reason to vote for her. But she did, you know, it was rumored that mainstream Democrats tried to get her to talk about Russia more now that she's won. She also had to clarify a statement where she said she's, you know, does not like to see Israel's, you know, apartheid-like situation with the Palestinians. And she had to take that back and say, well, I was saying that in the capacity of an activist, which from what I hear, I don't have her words in front of me, is now I'm in a position of responsibility, so I can't say that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, I question Bernie Sanders. I question all of them. Mm-hmm. And all I know is that Alexandria, with many others, campaigned on a platform of abolish ICE. Well, it sounds good if you're thinking I'm pro-immigrant, I'm not a Trumper who hates brown people and da-da-da-da. You know, but the fact is, it's crazy.
I'm curious to know, like, as a
can you abolish ICE? You know, I mean, ICE is the border patrol. Every country has a border. Somebody needs to quit, pretending. You know, it's like every country has a border policy. You're not racist if you have a border policy. Are some border policies crueler than others? Sure. Should you have the same border policy, you know, in the North as you do the South? Yes. But I mean, it's you know, Democrats know full well that this is another political football.
But before I want to spend some time talking about Carol Channing and her influence on you, because I know that she meant a lot to you.
Yes.
I know that she was extremely influential, not just in the way that you speak, but also like your idea of what an entertainer can do.
Well, there was never a conscious effort for me to sound like Carol Channing, but your voice does get raspier as you get older. And I do love the articles that say that anyone could impersonate Carol Channing. I'm one of those weirdos that does not sit with my favorite, you know, movies and go back to them. And I grew up with Carol Channing. She formed an impression before, you know, I even, you know, knew who I was.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was always there, always kooky, always outrageous and entertaining and goofy and silly. And, you know, I can't, you know, say, I mean, I loved her wardrobe too. She was very chic. No one really talks about how chic she was. I mean, with that figure up until 86, I saw her perform, Razzle Dazzle, from Chicago.
But I mean, certainly, like, you know, Leslie Jordan and you guys all kind of talk in a similar way. And someone said maybe it was just growing up in Chattanooga, or.
Well, she grew up in Seattle, though. That's in San Francisco. So
Carol Channing did.
But
where's this way? Because I could start talking like that all the time.
I know. It's not good for your voice.
Or my ears.
But, I mean, in terms of your speech patterns, was there ever a conscious effort in your life, you know, certainly Dusty Springfield and, you know, other entertainers that have had a profound influence on the way you look, the way you present and think about yourself?
I'm going to be honest. I really don't. They all formed a huge impression on me. Charo, Patti LaBelle, yeah. You know, so many of them. But I don't consciously take certain things from them or think back to a specific moment of Carol or Lucy. I worship Lucy. So I can't like find actual moments. I did work with Carol Channing in a big gay roundup in Central Park. Must have been the late 80s or early 90s. And she, in the dressing room, said, "Now you're not going to call me. I'm going to introduce you as my friend, Lady Bunny. You're not going to let them know that we've only just met." And I was like, "Honey, you say anything you want, and about me, you know, anytime you do whatever you want." And so that was funny. My look was so hideous that day. I don't know what I was thinking, but it was a weird harlequin green and white with matching feather boa trim.
Is there a photo of you with Carol Channing at that event somewhere?
Yes, there is. And she gave me a diamond ring on stage and some kind of honor that I don't even remember.
Is there a way that we can see it?
It's around. I have it somewhere. I just don't know where it is, and I don't know who took
it. How tall was Carol Channing when you met her? Because I guess according to Wikipedia, she was 6 feet.
No.
There's a lot of debate, and if you look at that video of her in 1957 doing Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend for television, she's obviously much, much taller than everybody else. And so there was a debate with how tall Carol Channing was, and that she got a lot shorter as life progressed. According to Wikipedia, she was 5'10", but there's other sources that said in the 1950s she was about 6 feet or 6'1".
Well,
but how tall was she when you saw her in the 1980s?
And could you beat her up?
Do you remember how tall you were and then how tall was she?
Well, I have on heels and a tall wig. Wasn't that tall back then? Yeah, she's not that tall.
So you were thinking like maybe 5'8"?
I'm awful. I wouldn't even attempt to guess.
Because part of the reason that she got cast in Gentlemen Prefer Blondes was because she wasn't glamorous, and the idea that she was this big goofball was very appealing. So when they put Marilyn Monroe in the film role, it was a really big departure it wasn't ringing true for what that character was about.
Well, it wasn't ringing true to put John Travolta in the Harvey Fierstein role on Broadway of Hairspray.
Yeah. But
John Travolta's sexy, Marilyn's sexy. So that's just what I say. We camp and the eccentrics are something that you have to develop an appetite for.
She performed in Hello Dolly as Dolly Gallagher 5,000 times, and she was devastated when they made the film production of it and put Barbara Streisand. It's considered one of the greatest box office flops of all time. Mm.
Well, I got to see her last tour, and I love the fact that Hello Dolly, and I love the fact that she wore shoes with giant ornate buckles on the, widest part of the foot. And I was told that that's a surefire way to hire bunions, so I took note. I also took note when she would sing a whole song, and then the cast might be swaying while she's singing. Then they do a two-step to end it, and she throws her arms up in the sky in that magical, way of like, oh my God, ta-da! Oh, what? They like it? Oh my God. And that makes you clap even more, because she's like, she's building this up thing where you applaud for anything. You're like, oh, you did two steps back and forth, and I love that as I get older, like make them clap for nothing, but make it like a big wind up.
Well, that's what thing I feel about like Leslie Jordan I'm blacking out her name, but she's always very, very
Leslie Jones,
happy. Not Leslie Jordan.
Yeah.
But Leslie Jones always very enthusiastic, very excited about everything. And I think Carol Channing certainly did that, So like as an entertainer for myself, every time I'm on stage, I want to be excited to be there and in awe of the magic of the moment.
But, like you said, Bunny, though, she's got that moment where it's like really nothing is happening. So when something actually does happen, you do make a movie, it seems like it's bigger than anything, right? Because everything
completely.
Else is.
And so, it's genius.
And she's got those dangly arms. So it's just like they make an impression. It's about that silhouette, really. And people that I've talked to, you've seen her perform and stuff in shows, and they just say it's nothing like because we grew up with her watching her on variety shows and The Love Boat and different things. But they say is when she was on stage, that's when she really shined, and that's when it became electric.
Well, and that's probably because it was all her.
Well, Tommy Tune said she was one of the once-in-a-lifetime performers that when you see her on a Broadway show on any stage, you felt like she was, in terms of video and film, a close-up, that she was right in your face speaking only to you.
And who was Tommy Tune?
He was a dancer, choreographer.
I know.
Did you ever work with him? He's really tall too. He's like 6'6".
I've met him. He's very nice.
Yeah, and if you see Tommy Tune with Carol Channing, they're
scared because he's hauling around a dead body.
Oh my gosh. So have you ever Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez is a fan of Drag Race right now. Have you reached out to her or try to hang out with her? I mean, you guys are both in New York City.
If she's going into her new job as a congresswoman in the House, I think she's doing all right when she says, freshman orientation, day. There's lots of corporations and, banks that are speaking, no labor activists, no lobbyists for the people. So she called that. Then she called it out again saying, why can't the people have the same healthcare that Congress has? Because it's so much better. So the people who have better healthcare that is affordable, they are voting to let us not have it. And Democrats are saying healthcare is a human right without supporting Medicare for all.
Well, you could tell her because she does Instagram live things, and she had Valentina pop in.
Okay, this is the I have you no know. Interest in Alexandria.
She had Valentina pop in.
Okay, because she's doing really important work mm-hmm. to diminish that by what the reality show she might be on is really doing the progressive movement a disservice. And mixing two realms, which I'm glad they do mix if they do, but who cares?
Well, hopefully she could influence some of those people because you know a lot of those people are young and they probably haven't registered to vote yet, so maybe she can get them inspired.
But if she's, I don't want them to come to her because I don't want them to come for her because she likes Drag Race. That's ignorant.
But I would like to see you and her have a conversation on her Instagram live feed. I think that actually would be possible. Do you want me to try to set it up?
Well, listen, because I'm a toxic drag queen who tells filthy, twisted jokes and sucks a squirting dildo on stage. So most politicians don't want anything to do with me. all they have to do is say, look who this is. That's Alexandria. Mm. It would be like that preacher that Obama had that everyone flipped over.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever been approached like by Sesame Street to be a guest star like Carol Channing?
I would like that.
That would be amazing.
Is that still on?
Sesame Street? Yeah, they moved to HBO.
What?
And they you can watch it all on
HBO.
You
can't watch it on PBS?
And you can watch it on PBS, but on HBO's app, you can watch like old episodes and all that stuff.
Oh, wow.
So they kind of have like a dual thing.
Maybe you can finally learn your ABCs, Fausto.
When you were in that coffin and a lot of the drag queens were given the challenge of roasting you, do you feel like the what you saw was did it justice? For that experience.
I did. Including me.
Well, I gotta tell you, when they brought you back to life, that was like when the show, you know, started developing. And I noticed you've in the past not had such a warm reception to the idea of Drag Race's competition. Is this experience maybe changed you or tempered that opinion?
Of the competition on Drag Race?
Yeah, to some degree.
Or drag is a competition at all.
What's interesting to me, and it's something that I don't understand about it. You know, it's like turn drag fans into sport fans and, you know, arguing with who should be eliminated based on this and what lipstick did you have in your hand? And, you know, it seems like that's what people like to discuss. That's the part I'm least interested in. Show me the performances and the costumes and the witty banter.
It would be really fun if they could put all the queens in a house together, sort of like Celebrity Big Brother style, and have them drive each other up the wall.
Well, I mean, at the beginning of the show, and I haven't seen, you know, a full episode. Of course, I see clips online all the time. I haven't seen a full episode in a while. It started with Manila ugly crying. And I don't mean ugly crying as in the popular catchphrase. I mean, she's ugly and she was crying. And I thought, wow, drag queens crying. I know of drag queens telling jokes, singing, lip syncing, dancing. I don't know of the crying drag queens.
It is weird because sort of Manila and Latrice pretty well. And it is. And we know them, you know, through doing this podcast to some degree. It is unusual to see them on that show on All Stars after all these years and see them sort of become very competitive or have these bigger egos that are easily bruised. And it seems just very untrue to our experience of knowing them.
Well, you know, I'm such a weirdo and not that used to reality TV. I'm not sitting in that coffin because I'm young. Yeah. It's a newer thing. And, you know, I had a wonderful experience with it, but that's one aspect that I don't quite understand. You know, and also just seeing the beginning of it with Manila, you know, crying. I know her, you know, and, you know, have known her for a while and I've never seen her crying. So it's bizarre.
She's cried a lot because of her friend Latrice. I think she couldn't save her. She got eliminated. And so she was crying over that, I believe.
Well, I think when we are isolated socially from our friends and family.
And as we are.
You know, when you're on that experience, it can be, you know, the tears might be augmented because of the fact that you just don't have that buffer.
You don't have that what?
The social buffer, you know, to deal with it, to manage your emotions.
Well, then let's talk about it on a podcast and get together with no one.
Aww. Bunny, it's always good talking to you.
You too.
And what, what are your plans? So you're still touring right now. You're doing a couple of shows this week in New York.
And Monster every Sunday.
Vermont, the Winter Rendezvous, Winter Rendezvous Ski Week, which is my first time to Stowe, Vermont, Bernie country.
Ooh.
And then in the next week, I'm doing three dates in Connecticut and Hartford, and then some other doing some wild film festival with Red Bull in LA, when the other people are Trina, the hip hop artist, and they'll all be looking at that thinking, wow, this is an interesting mix.
Have you ever sort of shown up at a gig and people, like, you know, looked at you and like, oh no.
No.
Well, is that, you know, certainly like being a drag queen entertainer with a larger than life personality and and you know, a giant big wig.
Leave your husband out of this.
I can imagine sometimes in your life as an entertainer, you've shown up to a gig and they were expecting a DJ, you know, or some kind of circumstance where, like, they
if
didn't
they were
know
expecting
what they were
a
getting.
DJ, they wouldn't be hiring me.
But you do DJ quite a bit and you know a lot
I'm
about
kidding.
Music. Yeah,
I'm kidding.
It's the 40th anniversary of the song "I Will Survive" came out on January 20th.
Oh, okay. Hard to Kill.
Mm-hmm. I'll play it tonight.
Play it tonight.
40
years.
First I was afraid.
She won a disco Grammy for it, the only Grammy disco that was ever given out.
It is an anthem. I try not to play "It's Raining Men" or "I Will Survive" that much, but I don't have any problem playing "The Boss" every week.
Bruce Springsteen?
No, Diana Ross, you fucking straight wannabe.
Which boss are you talking about? Jesus?
Diana Ross, the boss, honey.
Mm. I thought you were talking about having sex with the manager that booked you.
My booking agent is female.
Oh.
Mm. Strap it on.
Both ways.
She can keep queen? Swinging somewhere else. Now, you need to see Carol Channing with Pearl Bailey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And on the Love Boat?
No, but
that's
maybe
Della Reese. That was Della Reese. Yeah. Yes.
No, they had a whole act.
Oh, Pearl Bailey and Carol Channing used to
I think
like
it was in the late 50s.
Oh,
or
wow.
Early 60s. The looks are phenomenal. And I love Pearl.
Pearl Bailey got her outfits from, I think, a drag queen, right? I think it was she gave her outfits to a drag queen, and then he started designing for her or something like that. She had some kind of weird connection to drag. We did a podcast on it. I forget how it went, though.
Well, Pearl was kind of, you know, funny, full of innuendo, and kind of like, you know, a little bit of a broad. Mm-hmm. You know, Carol was the wacky, wide-eyed goofball, and It was just phenomenal.
Yeah, chemistry. For people who don't know who Pearl Bailey is, she did the voice of the owl and the fox and the hound. When you're the best of friends.
She was also known for putting the little spoken inserts in her song, like "Drag that chinchilla, Pearl, honey," talking to herself.
And the Christmas classic, "Santa, all I want for Christmas is a 5-pound box of money."
Try me, Santa. Just try me.
Yeah. Oh. Joy, I watched Dreamgirls on the way home from Puerto Rico, and I love Jennifer Hudson. Mm. She's so good, and that voice can't be touched. Why doesn't she have any hits?
She don't make them beats like they used to.
Yeah,
she's wonderful. I watched Crazy Rich Asians recently,
yeah,
and that was phenomenal. I mean, it was so. I mean, it becomes a tacky, you know, boy meets girl. It is pretty much all the way through, but. I guess it's boy marries girl, but so, you know, I mean, I did cry a little, but it was terrific. The locations were dynamite, costumes and all of it. It was very fun romp.
Do you think Jennifer Holiday gets tired of singing? And I'm telling you, at this point in time, she's still singing.
She don't get tired of paychecks.
Yeah. I was at a charity fundraiser, and Jennifer Holiday was up there on stage for a very small group of people. And, you know, she's like, I'd like to sing some new songs from my album, my new album. And everybody was like, not having it and just started
they're crazy.
Screaming. Yeah, they were like, and I'm telling you. And then she just sighed. This look of defeat, turned to the DJ and nodded, and then she started singing that amazing song, and everybody lost it.
She's got other amazing songs, Just Let Me Wait, and No Frills Love, which was remade into a dance classic that lots of drag queens sing in the probably 2000s.
Oh, that's good to
like
know.
Like an early circuit thing. Abel did a remix of And I'm Telling You for her.
One thing I never understood why is Donna Summer did so many songs about sex workers.
Bad girls and what?
Yeah, she works hard for the money.
Well, no wonder she went Christian and said that God created AIDS. They made her sing, you know, they made her sing for gays about prostitutes.
Carol Channing was a lifelong Democrat, but at some point in time, I do remember her going on Fox News and saying that she was a Republican.
Well, she said she was married for 30 years, and then her husband took all her money, lost all her money, and she kept pushing that. And he was a Democrat. And he was a Democrat. You know, for a couple
on
of
Fox News, she
I
went
think
on,
it was,
yeah.
I don't know. It was one of those channels. I can't find it anywhere, though.
Well, Joan Rivers was a Republican, and I don't care.
Yeah, and also, too, I think her husband was gay, wasn't he, or something?
I don't know. And he ripped her off.
The second husband.
Yeah.
The first.
First?
The second husband's loaded a childhood sweetheart.
And then the third husband,
Harry was the
love of her life, and that she... Okay. He was on the show with, on this podcast with her, and she was like, I gotta just take a break right now and let Harry talk for a little bit.
We wore her out.
And then she's handed the phone over to Harry. He's like, who? Hello? Who is this?
It was nice to see Bob the drag queen write a memory of her
from
about
2004.
How he was introduced to her on something where she was with LL Cool J, and just like, you know, such an interesting, you know, perspective, you know, from a much younger person.
I saw her on TV, too.
Yeah, I did, too.
I guess Carol Channing believed her entire life that she was African-American, that she was of mixed heritage through her
father. One quarter.
I guess later on on Wendy Williams, of all shows, she clarified that. She says it's unclear that her mother may have just planted that in her head just to fuck with her. And that, so there's no hard evidence for or against it, but
she should have done
was very proud if she was.
She should do what everybody else does that think they might have some black in them. Go 23andMe and find out.
Well, we could dig up her body, do a DNA test of her heritage.
Well, that didn't work so well for Elizabeth Warren, did it?
No, it did not.
I like her economic policies, some of them, but...
Well, that's the thing with
that's right. You got to keep it to the platform, right?
Have you ever considered getting a DNA test to prove that you're human?
Honey, I don't even want to know. I don't care.
Like, for me, I'm just like, I don't think that's important, but I do know a lot of my friends who are African-American or really, really black people or really white people are very interested in their genetic heritage. You can go on YouTube and watch videos of people like hearing about their genetic ancestry and getting all emotionally caught up in it.
I saw Julie Sweeney perform. You know, she did the It's Pat character back in the day, and she said she had she always felt like she was really part Neanderthal, and so she had her DNA tested, and she was just like, she said she was in the upper percentile. She was like 2% Neanderthal, which is about as high as you can get without, like, you know, still being considered human.
Breaking the scales.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any denying that I'm a Neanderthal.
Well, you know how you get those the samples for those tests?
Yeah, in my ass.
You just spit into a test tube.
That's it.
And then you just mail out the test tube full of, like, body fluid.
I need no help spitting.
They charge you for the initial test, and then if you want, like, more information, you have to pay more. And then they take all that information, and then they sell it to the pharmaceutical companies, so.
Exactly.
And then they marry that with the Facebook 10-year recognition program.
Exactly. Yes.
They own you all.
That's right. The other thing, too. If you have a family member that's had the DNA test done, practically it's almost the same information as yours. Mm-hmm. And so couldn't do it.
I believe my father looked into it. We did go to the country in Germany where Bingen on Rhein, where our family originated, or as far as records were kept. And, you know, German, English, Irish, Scottish. So it's like, there's nothing you can, you can look at me and tell there's nothing terribly exotic. Maybe a little inbreeding.
Mari Povich turns to you and says, "Are you prepared for the results? Your ma is your pa."
And your pa was your ma.
What's the difference between Sasquatch and Bigfoot?
Darien Lake.
One's your ma and the other one's your pa. You know, the thing about it is a lot of these insult jokes for us, it's very hard to not deliver them without imitating you, without referencing your voice.
Oh, yeah. When I want to shade Fausto, I just say it in a Lady Bunny voice and it lets me get away with it. And he knows I'm joking because otherwise, he starts crying. Like, why would you say something like that to me? Or he takes it way too seriously.
Well, I have really enjoyed tormenting the Drag Race girls on Twitter.
I heard one time that you and RuPaul got really high on acid. And you went up to RuPaul in a nightclub and scared her to death by whispering in her ear throughout the night, "The devil's gonna get you."
If I whispered it in her ear all night, I had already been saying it to her when we were not on acid, but maybe the acid.
You're laughing because this did happen.
But I mean, we had a friend from those Now Explosion Atlanta days where Rue and I were go-go dancing for a band called the Now Explosion. And one of the guys became a monk, Catholic monk in Rome. And he would always be on acid and really get unhinged when I would start the devil talk. And as an atheist, I just thought it was hilarious that someone could actually have their feathers ruffled, you know, by something that I didn't even think existed.
The devil's gonna get you.
The power of Satan.
You think the grave could hold me back? You'd be wrong.
Not you, Carol.
Religion holds a power over people. Like, you know, when I watched The Exorcist as a kid, I was raised Catholic, and a Catholic nun said, "You guys should all go home and watch this movie because this kind of stuff could really happen to you." And so I was like watching The Exorcist. Now, granted, it was cut for television, but it was one of those things. Like, I'm like, oh my God, this could happen to me. I could puke, you know, pea soup out like that.
They drugged me to a Baptist church to see anti-abortion videos, and those were not edited for TV. They were extremely graphic and terrifying.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you should always let a Catholic priest touch you in order to prevent the demons.
That's why you blow them, so you can't get pregnant.
Oh, Bunny, it is so good talking to you. I love you so much.
Thank you, Bunny.
Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
I'm glad you're not dead.
Yeah, I'm glad you're still alive.
Yeah.
For now.
For now.
Lady Bunny lives in New York City. You can follow her on social media, ladybunny.net.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Carol Channing.
Well, I'm super glad she's not dead because, you know, her will probably never hold up in court because you have to be of sound mind and body when you write your will.
You got a lot of good ones in. It's like those drag queens, if they'd known, they should have called you for some help.
I just wrote these this morning, 10 minutes before we started.
So Carol Channing had three husbands. Mm-hmm. And if you want to hear what Harry Cooligen, who was on her podcast with her, you can go to feastoffun.com/plus, where you can access our archives with Carol Channing. I actually just reposted that, too.
You did, so yeah. It's up, available for free. You can listen to it now. But I want to remind people that we do need your support. This is our 15th season. Can you believe it? We started podcasting way back in 2005, so we were working on our 15th season here. And we wouldn't be able to do it if it weren't for people like you who listen to this podcast and support us. And the best way to do that is to become a Plus member, which you can do at feastoffun.com/plus, or make a one-time donation. We're currently trying to get some money together because we have to replace one of our computers to make this show happen and to make Cooking with Drag Queens happen. We need the we need some more computing power.
Well, part of it is the logic board and the fan on the main computer that we run things on is basically dead, and the battery is swollen, and we have to spend a lot of money. And I'm just like, at this point, it's like it's probably cheaper in the long run to replace the whole computer. So if you we're gonna do a GoFundMe for it, so please go to Feast of Fun Computer on GoFundMe and help us get to the amount that we need to replace the computer we currently use. Please. Pretty please. You know, you love Feast of Fun, you enjoy the show, it's kind of like clean water out of your faucet. Sometimes we take it for granted, but it requires your participation, requires your support to make the show possible. So please go to feastoffun.com/donate, put a dollar in our tip jar, or consider becoming a member at feastoffun.com/plus, where you can access almost 15 years now of amazing podcasts. Archives, shows with RuPaul and Lady Bunny, Latrice Royale, Manila Luzon, certainly Gia Gunn as well, and Bob the Drag Queen, many other amazing. It's the largest repository of interviews with girls from RuPaul's Drag Race, found nowhere else in the world, on feastoffun.com, honey.
Carol Channing?
Yeah.
And I want you to know that I am thrilled to know, well, the Feast of Fun, they're my favorite people. Yes, sir. And I'm happy to be with them again, and I'm happy to, you must listen to Mark and Fausto. They sure know how to ask penetrating questions.
That's what Carol said.
Yeah. That is Carol Channing. That is not an impersonator. It's actual Carol Channing in her own voice. When she actually said my name and your name.
You must listen to Mark and Fausto.
I got excited.
She had it written down on a piece of paper in front of her.
She didn't mispronounce my name either.
No, she didn't.
Thank you, Carol Channing, for an amazing life of happiness and music. I wish for everyone listening to this show to have an extraordinary life like she had. Thank you so much for listening to Feast of Fun. We love you guys. We think of you all the time. Please, if you have comments to make, make it on the website, feastoffun.com, or tweet us, or post on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.